hear your breathing.
Mm. Okay, I've got a hot mic, and I don't know what to do about that, except maybe different get a different headset.
But, when you're hot, you're hot.
Yeah,
when
right.
you're hot, you're not.
Amen. All right,
remember
so.
Remember that with Jerry? Oh,
yeah.
He did that, yeah.
Right. Okay. Hair of the Dog, that was a good song. What was that?
Oh, I can't
remember. Now you're messing with him. Son of a bitch. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Okay. Love hurts. Okay. So, folks, welcome to Eurofolk Radio. This is Bloodlines for December 9th, 2018. I don't know. Did we have any?
There's some bloodlines over in France here.
Oh, man. It's lying in the street.
They are kicking butt and taking names over there. And
yes.
Just a general populace. They've got everybody rioting, not just a right wing. Most of the legitimate protesters are white guys. I've been listening to commentary all morning and looking at what's been going on over there. The world is waking up.
Yep.
You know, and it's coming. The one guy comments that, you know, we're going to have a civil war in America. You might as well just
right.
Get ready, but a lot of the policemen are going to be on our side because they've had enough of it, too. And there's only so many of them, and they can only take care of so much trouble. And then, you know, and the military, too, they're you know.
Yeah, and the police.
I mean, they talk a good game, and they're also tough, and they got all this technology. And they may shoot a few people, but the thing is about this country, we shoot back.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, the police in Paris have simply taken their helmets off and refused to.
They're just sort of standing over on the side.
Attack Parisians, right? Yeah, and let the rioters riot because there's nothing going to solve this problem because the problem has been created by the international Jew. Of course, the media says, "Well, it's you know." It's lack of democracy. What the hell? It was way better before you created democracy.
Oh, it's okay. Racist.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Hey, guess what? It's racist.
Yeah, right. So,
these people home. We don't want them here.
So just like California, which rewards criminality by giving illegal aliens the vote, and that includes a lot of Mexican criminals, right? Because the Democratic Party requires the vote of illegal aliens. And so you can see California is rotting. It's just rotting away. And there's no saving it. There's no saving it. That's why white people are leaving. And they're going to Texas. They're leaving California, going to Texas, where Texas has zero income tax, right? Why pay taxes so the government can import your assassin? Right? Or your bludgeoner.
We're watching all these events, and it's all part of one big thing. It's going to come to a head. I just told them on the left, you know, the last thing, you're not going to get out of it. You were born in your uniform, Israelite.
That's right.
You might as well accept the fact that you are white.
Yeah,
and
deal with
it. And you're going to be hated because you are white, and that you're going to be assaulted or killed because you're white. So you might as well just stand up for yourself, and if you won't and you just die, well, good riddance. Because it says a man that won't lift his sword for defense or to fight is cursed.
Yeah, right.
The scripture says that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just can't have all these namby-pamby little people. I don't want this to happen. I don't care whether you want it or not. Here it is.
Right, right.
Deal with it.
Right. You know, Pastor Steve, I just figured out how to determine whether a person is white. Very, very simple test without even ever having seen the person. Okay? It's very simple. Does that person have concern for other races? And if that person does have concern for other races, races, he or she is white. Because non-whites don't have any concern for other races. They don't care about salvation.
We're to be a blessing for the world.
Right.
And those that are not our direct enemies will not be destroyed. But those that are our direct enemies, because we are Yahweh's inheritance, therefore they're against our Father in heaven, they will be destroyed.
Yep. Amen. Amen. All right, so let's pick up where we left off last week, and we did our first of a series of shows on Josephus and the story of Herod. And last week was a prefatory show dealing with Herod's father, Antipater. And we documented Antipater being an Edomite. Antipater the Edomite married an Edomite woman, gave birth to an Edomite named Herod, and Herod is the one who overthrew the dynasties of Judah. All right? There's no way that Herod is an Israelite or a Judahite. He is of the devil's seed. All right? Yeah. John Hyrcanus was the weak leader that allowed all this to happen. Why? Because he is the prototypical white leader with a Jewish advisor.
Hmm.
Okay.
I wonder who that might be.
Yeah, right.
How many Jewish advisors do we have now?
Yeah, right. Who is Nixon's Jewish advisor?
Well, now it's come out. Now, this is interesting. That they're saying that Bush was McCain. he was McCain. He was executed for treason, and it was done in a military manner, the same way John McCain had it done.
Okay.
And they've kept it hidden because they want him to have the dignity. That was part of the plea deal where he pled guilty, and he says, go ahead. They gave him a shot, and that was the end of it.
You know, Pastor Steve, for once, I heard some truth, because I set my radio alarm to a local channel, and they have a 5:30 a.m. news brief, okay? And one of the commentators, this is like NBC, you know what I mean? This is mainstream media. She said, I hate all the hypocrisy of these politicians praising George Bush, who, when he was alive, they hated his guts. Right? The hypocrisy is so thick that even they see it, and actually talked about it on live on the air. I couldn't believe it. I said, wow.
Well,
man, this woman told the truth.
Down, they're not going to be able to control everybody. Now, that commentator might not be employed next week.
Yeah, right. Right. So, Henry Kissinger was the advisor, okay, to Nixon. And who was the advisor to FDR? A whole slew of Jews, but Bernard Baruch was the chief one.
FDR was a Jew.
Yeah, that's right. So, and then...
His wife founded, what, like 67 or 97, something or other, communist fronts?
That's right, right.
His wife was a straight-up commie.
That's right, that's right. And a pervert.
Eleanor,
a pervert, total pervert.
Straight-up commie.
And Woodrow Wilson had Colonel House. I mean, yeah. Pastor Steve, Yahweh save us from Jewish advisors. It's always Jewish advisors that bring our countries down. But nobody knows that the Jews are, in fact, devil seed. Okay, that's why we're here to explain
They're getting an education via EFR tutorials. And I've been listening to all of David's shows, David James.
Okay.
And he has had some absolutely just...
Fun with the Jews.
Outstanding shows lately. The information that he has conveyed is priceless.
Now it's difficult to tell who Trump's main Jewish advisor is, because he's surrounded by a lot of little Jews, and from what I can see, he doesn't have a big shot Jewish advisor. George Soros is the putative inheritor of Henry Kissinger's position, but Soros does not have any influence in the Trump administration. So it's a bunch of little Jews.
Soros is in danger.
Yes. Oh, I'm surprised he hasn't been assassinated yet.
Well, they're coming. They got this tribunal thing going that they're supposed to. They postponed it because they haven't got all the warrants.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yet, and we will see. Well, now, this could be more smoke and mirrors.
It could be. Yeah, yeah.
But what if it isn't?
It would be nice if it isn't.
We just need to see. And they showed at the funeral of the Bush.
GHW, yeah.
The notes that were handed to Hillary and Pelosi and some of the other ones.
Right.
And it was like the bottom dropped out. They looked like they were going to Ralph right there.
Right. Is that Rolfing? That massage
Ralph.
Right. So yeah, that's good. That's good. It's taking Trump a long time to deliver on his promises, but as David James pointed out, he really disappointed us on the Jerusalem thing. Really disappointed us. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Well,
we don't know the reason behind that either.
Right, right. But if this behind-the-scenes takedown of globalists is for real, I mean, I've heard these rumors now for past 5 or 6 years, even before Trump took office, that there is a military-style coup going on of patriotic military people, MIA-type people, who, are slowly but surely getting rid of the globalists. And yeah, unless and until Hillary gets arrested and prosecuted, I won't believe it until then. Okay? And Soros, they have to take Soros down too. I mean, that guy is pure evil. His crimes are documented. There's no reason why that...
I hate America and everybody in it, and my goal is to destroy this nation.
That's right. Like every other Jew.
He said that in an interview, and they quoted an interview when he was a lot younger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he has been true to his word. That's what his agenda is.
Yeah. Yeah, because America is white and Christian. He doesn't give the real reason. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Bush, the Bush hierarchy, we know that their ancestry is Jewish. The Bush family going back into actually American Revolutionary times. So, but they aren't they aren't open Jews. You know, they never have been.
No, they're cryptos.
They're cryptos. They have been, George H.W. has been on the outs with the international Zionist establishment. He's done things that they didn't like, for example, selling, jets to the Saudis and other Arab countries, because, he owns stock in those companies that make the jets, right?
The main gist of what I have been listening to about the supposed execution was because of child trafficking.
Mm. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's got to end. Yeah, I mean,
they're pretty much done with rebuilding Gitmo.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're stocking it with military police.
Okay.
That's a fact. That's not a wish list or a, well, that's just a rumor. No, they're actually doing the troop movements.
Okay. Okay, as you say that, it's possible, Steve, that the Illuminati realizes that this has gone too far, that the child trafficking and sexual...
They may throw some under the bus.
Right. Those who have gone that route may get thrown under the bus, right? And Hillary and Bill have been involved in that. Not, I don't know about GHW's involvement in that, but McCain was pure evil, and so was GHW. And so is Bill and Hillary. You know, I have not made no
well,
differentiation.
The
Demopublicans.
The Eisner Island or whatever it is, whatever island down there, Walt Disney Corporation that was bought out.
By the Jews.
A lot of stuff,
right.
There's a lot of stuff involved with that.
Right. Yeah. Homosexuality, child born.
Haitian kids go right. for high dollar and then they sacrifice them. And,
right.
I mean, we're.
Yeah. Yeah. When, it's when hard it, to suppress that
when
stuff.
It, when it finally comes out in the light of day, the rage.
Oh.
What I see coming with
oh.
the people.
Oh, man. Let me borrow one of your swords, Pastor Steve.
Harm a child,
yeah.
The American people just,
if they only knew.
About a lynch mob.
Right.
Oh, man. And back in the old days, you know, and the witch trials. Oh, she's a witch. My cow died.
Right.
Well,
it was global warming. All right. Okay, folks, so, yeah, these are very, this is very interesting. We've been waiting for these big-time globalists like G.H.W. Bush to kick the bucket. David Rockefeller passed not too long ago. But the number one arch-criminal in the world today under the Rothschilds is George Soros. He needs to be arrested and prosecuted and all his activities exposed. But, of course, that's not going to happen because mainstream media is controlled by the Rothschilds. They're gonna, like you're pointing out, they're going to just get rid of them slowly behind the scenes. So Soros may be next. Yeah, Soros may be next.
Well, George Soros passed away today.
Yeah, right.
Due to
philanthropists. The philanthropist.
Complications, the four bullets in the back of his head were a little too much. The lead therapy was unsuccessful.
right.
Well.
So to use barium.
The whole thing is there's a lot of movement and there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, not just here in the United States. How does Yahweh move? Does he move real quick, or does he put everything in place and then drop the hammer? How's he done it?
Mm-hmm.
Time and time and time again, and who does he use to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. You are my battle axe and instruments of war.
Amen. That time's coming.
And the white race is waking up more and more and more. They don't get on the EFR website and they don't comment in chat rooms, but they sure do talk in coffee shops and around the tractor in the barn when they all get together on a Friday night and have a little snort.
Yeah, the villagers
sit around the campfire and clean their guns and
right. The villagers are getting suspicious about all the goings on up in the castle. And their children are disappearing, right?
and their
swords and their knives and their oiling their guns, right? It's getting ready to happen. It's getting ready to blow up, folks. We've been telling you, and the corruption is so thick that even they have to put a lid on it. The Illuminati themselves have to put a lid on it.
Yeah, they recognize the danger because
of exposure, right?
They're gonna drop the hammer on some of the lesser,
right? Yeah,
and Yahweh's gonna take care of the big ones.
Yeah, GHW and McCain have served their purpose. No big loss. No big loss for the Illuminati, but Soros, he would be a prime target, and we need to pray, Father Yahweh. Take out George Soros. It's time for George Soros to go and expose the activities of the Illuminati, the International Jewish Cabal, that has controlled the world since the United Nations was formed. Father, do it quickly. We can't stand the suspense. Do it quickly in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Yeah, all right. Save your remnant, Father. Your inheritance is in danger.
Yeah, right, yeah.
We trust in you, and you're the only one that can accomplish this.
Yes.
we're only men and you are not.
That's right. That's right.
And, we're dealing against divine evil powers, and you are the only one that has the power.
Amen. So, amen.
Yeshua's name.
All right. All right. Yeah, there's so much going on.
Let's get into Jewish antiquities here in chapter 9. You want to start it off, or you want me to start
it? Let me start it off. And again, this is the Antiquities of the Jews. It should be the Antiquities of Judah. And certainly the history that Josephus recounts of Old Testament times is exclusively of the people of Judah and Israel, but primarily Judah, okay? He is basically recounting Old Testament history until we get to into Maccabean times and post-Maccabean times, where this secular history by Josephus, this should be the Antiquities of Judah, not the Antiquities of the Jews, because the Jews are not Israelites, and they never will be, never were, and it's impossible for them to be Israelites because there's Cain's satanic seed line. But what Josephus does, now it needs to be pointed out that Josephus was in the Roman army for a while, okay? Mm-hmm. So he had to choose his words very carefully, especially when he talked about Messiah. He had to choose his words very carefully, pretty much in a third-hand, second-hand account, rather than as a Judahite, which he was, because we quoted from his autobiography. And he claims priestly descent and royal descent for himself. That means he's not a Jew. And because the world has been falsely convinced that the Jews are Israel and this history is about Jews. No, it's not about Jews. It's about Judahites and Israelites. And never the twain shall meet. So the actual title of the document, Antiquities of the Jews, is deceptive. It should be the Antiquities of Judah. Now, as we're talking about here, the mixing of the people of Judah with Edomites. Now the proper terminology is Judea, because now the house of Judah, we're going to find out from this chapter right here, the house of Judah failed to maintain power, and slowly but surely the Edomites under Herod were taking over. So now the nation is properly called Judea because Judah is no longer in charge. Okay? So
that is correct.
Okay, and that's where this is the transition in this chapter. We prefaced it last week. Now we're going to document the change here. Okay, chapter 9. This is book 14, paragraph 1, heading: How Antipater committed the care of Galilee to Herod, and that of Jerusalem to Phasaelus, which was his other son, as also how Herod, upon the Jews' envy of Antipater, this would be the Judahites. You know, the real Judahites were upset that Edomites were put in charge by the Romans. Okay? As we should be. All right? So this shows you, I say, they use the word Jew very loosely here, and it shouldn't be used at all. We should just use the proper terminology. Judah, Judea, Edom. These are the people we're talking about. These are the Judea is a territory. It's not a racial designation. It's a country, an artificial country, just like the Palestinian state that calls itself Israel today.
It was the allotment of the land to the particular tribe of Judah.
Right. Right.
Or Yehuda.
Right, and they were not Jews. They were Judahites. There's a tremendous difference between a snake and an angel. That's how different they are. So let's continue. Now when Caesar had settled the affairs of Syria, he sailed away. And as soon as Antipater had conducted Caesar out of Syria, he returned to Judea. Now we established the fact that Antipater was a high-ranking advisor to Julius Caesar. Wow. What? Wow. Not just to John Hyrcanus, but to Julius Caesar, because he had done a couple of military exploits for Caesar, and because he had given Caesar all kinds of presents, i.e. bribes. Let's continue.
Oh, surely.
He then immediately raised up the wall which had been thrown down by Pompey, and by coming thither he pacified that tumult which had been in the country, and this by both threatening and advising them to be quiet, for that if they would be of Hyrcanus' side, they would live happily and lead their lives without disturbance in the enjoyment of their own possessions. However, because Hyrcanus by this time had become the puppet of Antipater, the Edomite. Antipater is telling the pure-blooded Judahites of Judea is, okay, I'm in charge now, and if you want peace and tranquility, you're going to have to honor my puppet, Hyrcanus. Let's continue.
Yeah, lay down and shut up.
That's right. But if they were addicted to the hopes of what might come by innovation and aim to get wealth thereby, they should have him a severe master instead of a gentle governor, and Hyrcanus a tyrant instead of a king, and the Romans together with Caesar their bitter enemies instead of rulers, for that they would never bear him to be set aside whom they had appointed to govern. Okay, so he's giving them an ultimatum. You either accept this puppet called Hyrcanus, which I, Antipater, with my money, and Rome with its military might, has put over you. You either accept it and don't complain, or you're going to have trouble. And when Antipater had said this to them, he himself settled the affairs of this country. I mean, is there any other... this is a coup. Is there any other way of describing it, Pastor Steve, than a coup?
No, that was a coup d'etat.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Very few.
Accomplished by deception and by bribery, which is their main modus operandi even today. Right. That's what they do.
Yes.
We're expecting them to behave different. Come on, folks, wake up.
Yes. Paragraph 2. And seeing that Hyrcanus was of a slow and slothful temper, he made Phasaelus, his eldest son, governor of Jerusalem and of the places that were about it, but committed Galilee to Herod, his next son, who was then a very young man, for he was but 25 years of age. So, in other words, Hyrcanus didn't act quickly enough, so he just took over the government and he started making appointments, okay? Just like Kissinger did for Nixon.
Right.
But that youth of his was no impediment to him, but as he was a youth of great mind, or cunning mind, he presently met with an opportunity of signalizing his courage, for, finding there was one Hezekias, a captain of a band of robbers, who overran the neighboring ports of Syria with a great troop of them, had seized him and slew him, as well as a great number of the other robbers that were with him. In other words, this guy who was probably employed by Antipater secretly, right, to rob the people, and so we pretend to get rid of these robbers, okay, by ousting them, okay? So, the reality is that Herod is even more evil than Hezekias. For which action he was greatly beloved by the Syrians, for when they were very desirous to have their country freed from this nest of robbers, he purged it of them. So they sung songs in his commendation in their villages and cities. Okay, we have, we give festivals for our political and military heroes, as having procured them peace and the secure enjoyment of their possessions. Yeah, right. There is no such thing as security with Jews in charge. And on this account, it was what he became known to Sextus Caesar, who was a relation of the great Caesar, and was now president of Syria. Now Phasaelus, Herod's brother, was moved with emulation at his actions, and envied the fame he had thereby gotten, and became ambitious. I mean, talk about politicians, right? This whole family, and envied the fame he had thereby gotten. So he made the inhabitants of Jerusalem bear him the greatest goodwill. He made them bear him goodwill, right? Okay, let's have another demonstration. Get the flags and the horns and the military parade. Bear him the greatest goodwill while he held the city himself, but did neither manage its affairs improperly nor abuse his authority therein. Okay, so he didn't abuse the power given to him very much. This conduct procured from him the nation to Antipater such respect as is due to kings, and such honors as he might partake of it if he were an absolute lord of the country, which he was. Yet did not this splendor of his, as frequently happens, in the least diminish in him that kindness and fidelity which he owed to Hyrcanus, at least openly. Okay. Right. So I don't know if Josephus is hip to the fact that, you know, Antipater is a total fraud. Maybe he has to be kind of careful in his language here. But he does tell us, you know, that Antipater and Herod are Edomites. I mean, he really should be upset with this. If he's a pure-blooded descendant of Judah, I would be way more upset about that than Josephus appears to be. And maybe he's just guarding his language because he has to placate the Romans. Okay.
Well, if they were in charge and they had the ear of Rome, he had to be very careful. He was a politician, too.
That's right. So
he was a very smart man, and he wrote things down.
Mm-hmm. So
but maybe he didn't say them out in public. He just kept a private journal.
Right. And then he wrote the history for public consumption. Right?
Right.
Now compare the language of Maccabees, and some of this history we've covered is covered in Maccabees as well. The absolute dismay of the authors of Maccabees, you know, but they're supporting Yahweh's Torah. Okay? And even if Josephus did believe in Yahweh's commandments, he had to be very careful about offending the gods of Rome. Okay, so we give him the utmost respect and credence, but he's in a difficult situation with regard to how he can present his
facts.
Well,
we got to remember, this is not scripture.
Right, this is not scripture.
This is historical writings by a historian.
Right.
Who had his own views.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now you get a great deal of information from Josephus, but there are some things that are flavored with his opinion in his writings that are a little suspect at times.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then that's why we do make the comparisons to Scripture to see where he deviates. Normally, you know, from the secular point of view, he doesn't deviate hardly at all.
Correct.
But yeah, there is a bit of flavoring going on here to appease the Romans. He had to be careful, because if he offended the Roman gods, you know, he would be executed. You know, it's that simple. All right, paragraph 3. Let's see, did I end paragraph 2?
Yeah,
I did. Okay, paragraph 3. But now the principal men among the Judeans, and this would be primarily Judahites. It was Judahites who were concerned, the real Judahites were concerned about the Edomite Jews taking over. When they saw Antipater and his sons to grow so much in the goodwill the nation bare to them, and in the revenues which they received out of Judea, and out of Hyrcanus's own wealth, they became ill-disposed to him. Okay, well, they became suspicious of this outlander, this alien by the name of Antipater. For indeed, Antipater had contracted a friendship with the Roman emperors. Mm-hmm. And so did Herod. Herod was installed by them. And when he had prevailed with Hyrcanus to send them money, he took it to himself and purloined the present intended. Oy vey! The Jews stole the money.
No. Read what it says. Read the rest of it.
Yeah. Okay. And not
sent it as if it were his own.
Right.
It wasn't coming from the people. It was coming from him. Oh, this is a present from me to you.
I'm such a philanthropist.
Yeah, okay. I'm your friend. See how I send you this?
See how I steal money from other people and bribe you with it? Right? It's amazing. Yeah.
This is from me.
Yeah.
To you.
The good Jew. Hyrcanus heard of this management, but took no care about it. Just like our leaders today, the Jews of the Federal Reserve Bank steal from us second by second, bribe our politicians with the money, and make no mention of it publicly.
And the politicians don't want to shut off that flow of cash, so they don't do anything either.
That's right.
They know what's going on. They're hip, or they wouldn't get in office.
Right. But here,
and they're not going to rock that financial boat.
Yeah. Here,
same deal, different day.
Yeah. Josephus.
It all stinks. A pile of poop back then.
Right. It's just as bad.
Today stinks.
Right, yeah, there's nothing stinkier than a Jewish outhouse, and that's what this is.
Now we're getting into David James territory, because he said they're fixated on poop.
And that's right.
I was listening to his show.
Right, they sure are.
Man, I love his show.
Poop, poop, doop. Right, Hyrcanus heard of this mismanagement, but took no care about it. Nay, he rather was glad of it. But the chief men of the Judahites were therefore in fear. Now the Edomites would not have had any reason to fear, because they want all this corruption. But the true, loyal Judahites would be the ones who are in foreboding here. Okay? We must always make a distinction between Judahites and Jews. They're not the same. They are, in fact, blood enemies. Because they saw that Herod was a violent and bold man, and very desirous of acting tyrannically. Okay, so they see the Jew for what it really is. Yeah. So they came to Hyrcanus, and now accused Antipater openly, and said to him, quote, how long wilt thou be quiet under such actions as are now done? How long will you tolerate this corruption? Or dost thou not see that Antipater and his sons have already seized upon the government, and that it is only in the name of a king which is given thee? You are a puppet, Hyrcanus.
But I'm not dead, and I like this money.
Right?
I like this money.
Yeah. Do you see a little bit of George Bush?
Surely not.
Yeah. Okay, but do not thou suffer these things to be hidden from thee, nor do you think to escape danger by so careless of thyself and of thy kingdom. For Antipater and his sons are not now stewards of thine affairs. Do not thou deceive thyself with such a notion. They are evidently absolute lords, for Herod, Antipater's son, hath slain Hezekiah and those that were with him, and hath thereby transgressed our law, which hath forbidden to slay any man, even though he were a wicked man, unless he had been first condemned to suffer the death by the Sanhedrin. Okay, so Hezekiah was a Judahite. Mm-hmm. And maybe he was a robber. But he, now compare what the Jews do today. If they have a problem with somebody, they just execute that person. They don't give them a trial.
No.
At best, it's a show trial. Okay? So the Jews...
Show trial.
Yeah, there you go. So this was going on then, and it's so instructive to read these passages which show how the Jews take over a country and basically destroy it through corruption. And this is how. So he's saying to John Hyrcanus, you allowed Antipater to murder a Judahite without giving him a fair trial. What's wrong with you? You could see they'd be really upset. Now, there's a footnote here. Quote, none could be put to death in Judea but by the approbation of the Judahite Sanhedrin. Not Jewish, Judahite Sanhedrin. There being an excellent provision in the law of Moses that even in... Hold on, I have to turn the channel. Have to turn the page. That even in criminal causes, and particularly where life was concerned, an appeal should lie from the lesser councils of 7 in the other cities to the Supreme Council of the 71 at Jerusalem. Now, these people...
Two or more witnesses.
Right. These people were still Judahites. Remember the Maccabees. They were very jealous of their racial heritage and of their Mosaic heritage. And this is exactly according to our Savior's words, where he says, it could not be that a prophet should perish out of Jerusalem, Luke 13:33. Okay? So, the Sanhedrin was the body that ruled by the law of Moses. And what Josephus is telling us here is that this law has now been violated by Antipater, and it was, and Hyrcanus looked the other way. Continuing, yet hath he been so insolent, that is Antipater, so insolent as to do this, and that without any authority from thee. Yeah, he just did it on his own, and you don't even complain. What's wrong with you, Hyrcanus?
Well, he's a puppet.
He's a puppet. Amen. Paragraph 4. Upon Hyrcanus hearing this, he complied with them. The mothers also of those who had been slain by Herod raised his indignation. For those women continued every day in the temple, persuading the king and the people that Herod might undergo a trial before the Sanhedrin for what he had done. Now, Jews always manage to avoid legal prosecution. Isn't that interesting? Hyrcanus was so moved by these complaints that he summoned Herod to come to this trial for what he was charged upon him. Accordingly, he came. But his father had persuaded him to come not like a private man, but with a guard for the security of his person, and that when he had settled the affairs of Galilee in the best manner he could for his own advantage, he should come to this trial, but still with a body of men sufficient for his security on his journey, yet so that he should not come with so great a force as might look like a terrifying Hyrcanus, but still such a one as might not expose him naked and unguarded to his enemies. Oh, and so he was being prudent.
Yeah.
Okay. Herod, you know, is a conniving Jew. So he realized he couldn't avoid this public confrontation, but just in case it got ugly, he had his own soldiers. However, However, Sextus Caesar, president of Syria, wrote to Hyrcanus and desired him to clear Herod and dismiss him at his trial, and threatened him beforehand if he did not do it. So the globalists pressured Hyrcanus to doing the global thing, right? The Jewish thing.
Yeah.
Which epistle of his was the occasion of Hyrcanus delivering Herod from suffering any harm from the Sanhedrin? Okay, so here we see Hyrcanus being an absolute, miscreant, denier of
puppet.
The law, puppet. You know, traitor. Traitor is the word I was looking for. Traitor to the nation, traitor to his race, traitor to Yahweh. Hyrcanus has become a complete enemy of Judah and Israel.
Right.
Okay?
For he loved him as his own son.
Right? Right? So we see the total corruption of the house of Judah taking place here. Now, is it any wonder that the temple veil was rent at the death of Christ. And that
this is racking up negative points with Yahweh all the way
around. Oh man. Oh man. Oh man. Okay. Okay. So, in other words, Hyrcanus, realizing his weak political position, succumbed to the Syrian magnate here. All right?
Well, of course.
Mm-hmm. But when
it's all about him and his retaining power.
Yeah.
Is retaining the big mansion and the cushy this
right.
and the cushy that, and lots of money.
Yeah.
He could live in comfort and, yeah. and everything as long as he went along with the flow.
Right, right.
Well, how many do that today? Go along to get along. How many?
But,
how many of
oh, yeah.
people
yeah.
That will work in jobs where they're being demeaned and hurting other Israelites? But we'll go along with it just because they're afraid of losing that job.
That's right.
They won't That's right. man up. They won't stand up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. So, but Hyrcanus, I'm sorry, Josephus may be exaggerating here when he says that Hyrcanus loved Herod as his own son. That may have been a public appearance, but I would say Hyrcanus was in fear. He was just acting out of fear because he realized the situation he was in.
Well, but when he was posturing.
Yeah, posturing. Posturing. Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But when Herod stood before the Sanhedrin with his body of men about him, he affrighted them all, and no one of his former accusers durst after that bring any charges against him. But there was a deep silence. As you just talked about, when our people are in terror. There is a reign of terror upon us today, folks. It's called Judaism. It's called Talmudism. It's called globalism. Mystery Babylon has
well,
terrified
now,
us.
Now, Eli, you know what happens with a volcano.
It'll
rumble for a while. It'll rumble for a while. And then it goes silent.
That's right. Right? And nobody
and that's
knew.
Just before the big
that's
explosion.
Right. Amen. The volcano is getting ready to blow its top. And nobody knew what was to be done. Okay, so the Sanhedrin and Hyrcanus was putatively the high priest.
Yeah.
So could things get any worse? Yes, they could. A Jew will be appointed ruler over Jerusalem and Judah. It really doesn't get any worse than that. And we have the same situation today where the white Christian world, all the white Christian nations, are being ruled over by Edomites who are no better than Herod himself and or Antipater. Okay? So, nobody knew what was to be done. So, we just take it silently. When affairs stood thus, one whose name was Semeas, a righteous man he was, and for that reason above all fear, rose up and said, O you that are assessors with me, and O thou that thou art king, I neither have ever myself known such a case, nor do I suppose that any one of you can name its parallel. That one who is called to take his trial by us ever stood in such a manner before us. In other words, threatening us militarily. But everyone, whosoever he be, that comes to be tried by this Sanhedrin, presents himself in a submissive manner, and like one that is in fear of himself, and that endeavors to move our compassion, with his hair disheveled, and in a black and mourning garment. But this admirable man, Herod, and I think the word admirable is misapplied here, who is accused of murder and called to answer so heavy an accusation, stands here clothed in purple. Hillary? The purple gang? And with the hair of his head finely trimmed, and with his armed men about him, that if he shall condemn him by our law, he may slay us, and by overbearing justice may himself escape death. Yet do not I make this complaint against Herod himself. He is, to be sure, more concerned for himself than for the laws. But my complaint is against yourselves and your king, who gave him a license to so to do. Okay? So there
Well, how do all these troubles come upon us? We, over a period of time, allowed them.
We submit. We submit to tyranny.
Basically, we are a peaceful people. We like to avoid controversy.
Mm-hmm. And conflict. Yes.
And we go along to get along, and then it comes back and bites us right in the
festers.
Derriere.
It festers. It's always best to confront a situation like this head on, rather than allow it to continue.
Call a spade a spade.
That's right. Okay. Now he continues. However, take you notice that God is great, and that this very man whom you are going to absolve and dismiss for the sake of Hyrcanus will one day punish both you and your king also. Has there ever been a white ruler submissive to Jews who has not suffered for it?
Well, they throw their own, anybody that's their ally, if they're not one of them, and even if they are one of them and they want their power, the big ones eat the little ones, okay? Just
right.
Like fish. The big fish will eat little fish. They're all fish, but they're eating each other. Well, the big Jew will eat the little Jew. And if a little Jew is inconvenient or they need something that he's got, they'll throw him under the bus. They are of their father the devil, and the lust of their father they do. They have no morals even toward their own. So why would we expect them to do so in this case?
Yeah. And then the people, you know, who are sitting by, it's just like us. The parallel today is uncanny. We have white patriots.
Mm-hmm.
We have white patriots bemoaning the fact that our government is pooping on our Constitution and our religion.
But yet, they're deluded and they say, well, the Jews are God's chosen. They won't recognize the actual problem.
Right. Yes.
They won't recognize it.
Yeah. They simply refuse. That's that delusion of Second Thessalonians.
They're bamboozled by the church leaders of the day.
Mm-hmm.
The wolves in sheep's clothing. And they're going along to get along with the church leaders. They don't want to be kicked out of their little social club.
Right.
You know? That little social club's going to get everybody killed.
Amen. Amen. All right. Sammeus was a truly righteous person in the spirit of the Maccabees. Nor did Sammeus mistake in any part of this prediction, for when Herod had received the kingdom, he slew all the members of this Sanhedrin.
Yep. There you go.
Okay, there's your government, Judah. It's gone.
Yep.
Totally gone. This is what happens when you allow Jews to take over your country. And Hyrcanus himself also accepting Sammeus, for he had a great honor for him on account of his righteousness, and because when the city was afterwards besieged by Herod and Sosius, he persuaded the people to admit Herod into it. So, Hyrcanus was a party to the slaying of all the Sanhedrin, except for Sammeus, because he had admiration for Sammeus. But here, what an act of treason by Hyrcanus to allow all this to happen. Hyrcanus.
Well, what an act of treason with the Clintons selling and giving all our technology to China.
There you go.
And John McCain was right in the midst of
that. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
John McCain snitched on people over in Vietnam when he was in the prison camp, and they called him a big hero when he got home. Yeah. That was engineered. Well, all that has come out. But how many of the general population knows it?
Yes, yes.
Because it's not allowed to be promulgated as news.
Right, right.
Only people like us will
right.
disclose the truth.
And then he throws the blame on the people, that is Hyrcanus. He persuaded the people to admit Herod into it and told them that for their sins, they would not be able to escape his hands. Okay, what's the modern parallel? We haven't been sending enough money to Israel. Therefore, all these calamities are occurring to America. Right? It's the same old deal. Happening all over again, folks. And we are allowing it to happen. We're not praying enough to Yahweh to put an end to this situation. And apparently the people of Judah in these days were not praying enough either. Paul tells us to never stop praying. Keep praying for our
Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing. That they would not be able to. So, in other words, he blamed the people for his own treason, which things will be related by us in their proper places. Paragraph 5. But when Hyrcanus saw that the members of the Sanhedrin were ready to pronounce the sentence of death upon Herod, he put off the trial to another day and sent privately to Herod and advised him to fly out of the city, for that by this means he might escape. Okay, so Hyrcanus had become a total collaborator, an absolute collaborator with the satanic seed line.
He was a willing puppet.
Yes, a willing puppet. So he retired to Damascus, that is, Herod retired to Damascus, as though he fled from the king. And again, this is all show. This is all show. Okay, I now, Hyrcanus, have totally cooperated with you up to this point, but let's make a show of me having authority. Fly to Damascus, and people will think that I'm in charge again. Right? Right? Fake news, folks! That's what this is. It's fake news. Okay? So he retired to Damascus as though he had fled from the king. And when he had been with Sextus Caesar and had put his own affairs in a sure posture, he resolved to do thus, that in case he were again summoned before the Sanhedrin to take his trial, he would not obey that summons. Now, before any Rothschild was ever seated into the House of Lords, they were supposed to take an oath to Jesus Christ, because the House of Lords was a Christian institution, and of course Britain was a Christian, at least as far as the Anglican Church is Christian, institution. And the first attempts by Rothschild to be seated were thwarted because he refused to take that Christian oath. Ultimately, Rothschild seated himself without taking the oath. There was a lot of murmuring, but from that point forward, without complaint, the House of Lords accepted a Jewish lord.
They let him get away with it.
Okay. This is how they do it. They will continue and continue and continue. Unless our people step in and do something about it, they get away with it. They're still getting away with it, folks. Okay.
Now look at Hill and Billary.
Right? Okay.
They haven't been arrested yet. Now that may change.
Yes.
But it has not so far. I mean, we hear all these things, and it's nice. It's a wish list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that'd be wonderful if they do this and they do that. And
yeah.
That would be nice if. Okay, but it hasn't happened.
Yes. So we know, those of us reading this, those of us in identity understand that Antipater and Herod were Edomites who had no business ruling in Judah. No business whatsoever. They were utterly illegitimate. Okay? And for 2,000 years, actually 1,900 years, Christians the world over understood that Jews are the people who murdered Christ and should be given no no countenance from us, none whatsoever. And that's the way it was for 1900 years, until the Rothschilds pursued Zionism and persuaded our religious, so-called religious leaders, to accept Zionism.
Well, okay. They had to worm their way into the seminary schools.
That's right.
A little bit at a time.
A little bit at a time. Slowly but surely.
They change their name. They go to a Christian church for a while. I mean, look at Billy Graham, Billy Frank. I mean,
the Revelations.
Big Christian leader. He's not even a Christian.
All right. Yeah. No, his real name is Billy Frank, Billy Frankenstein. He's a Jew. He's a Jew, another Jew masquerading as a Christian. All right, this is what we have to deal with, folks. Okay. Hereupon, the members of the Sanhedrin had great indignation at this posture of affairs and endeavored to persuade Hyrcanus that all these things were against him, which state of matters he was not only not ignorant of, but his temper was so unmanly and so foolish that he was able to do nothing at all. Again, Billary, right? Who was really president when Bill and Hillary were in the White House? It was Hillary. Bill was having his affairs, and Hillary was running the country, just like Herod.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
His temper was so unmanly and so foolish that he was able to do nothing at all. But when Sextus had made Herod general of the army of Coelesyria, for he sold him that post for money. Here we go again. How many times has Josephus told us that these Jews, these Edomite Jews, have bribed politicians for their positions? Time and time again. Has anything changed with the Jews? Okay.
Well, they in the military, a lot of the military, you could buy a commission.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. Right. So this is the situation. This is documenting the degeneracy that was going on in the leadership under Hyrcanus. And this is how our nations fall, ladies and gentlemen. This is how our nations fall. All right, so Herod had made a great present of money to the general of the army of Coelesyria. Hyrcanus was in fear lest Herod should make war upon him, nor was the effect of what he feared long in coming upon him. Now, remind you, this guy, Hyrcanus, had defeated the Edomites militarily 30 or 40 years previous. But what was his mistake? He allowed the Edomites to become citizens of the country.
Yeah.
Okay. He allowed the parasites to flow in. Okay. And for Herod
remember
came...
Remember that song? Do you remember that song, The Snake?
Yeah.
Take me in, oh pretty woman, take me in for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
Ride the snake. And then he bit her.
Yeah.
He said, ah, oh, shut up, silly woman, said the reptile with a grin. You knew darn well I was a snake before you took me in.
That's right.
Well, that's a prophetic song.
Well, exactly.
You know, hey, what do we got today, man?
Yeah. Only as right, self-destructive compassion toward brute beasts. That's the problem the white race has. We're too compassionate to people who
the wrong people.
That's right.
We have forgotten the biblical laws and the biblical rulings where you've got these enemy peoples. Charity begins at home. You take care of your own. And if somebody's your enemy, you wipe them out.
That's right. That's how it used to be.
Under servitude, you don't take them in and make them equal.
That's right. That's right.
But what are we doing?
Yeah, we're doing the exact opposite. We're doing Judeo-Christianity is what we're doing.
We're going against Yahweh's laws, and what happens when you do that? You get slapped down, you get punished.
Yes, yes.
Yes or no?
Yeah. So, backing up here, Hyrcanus was in fear that Herod should make war upon him because he had the Roman army to back him up. Nor was the effect of what he feared long in coming upon him, for Herod came and brought an army along with him to fight with Hyrcanus, as being angry at the trial he had been summoned to undergo before the Sanhedrin. But his father Antipater, in other words, Henry Kissinger, tells Richard Nixon, "You better do what I say, Mr. Nixon, because Daddy Rothschild will make war on you. We will either assassinate you or put you out of business, whatever, however we choose to do it. Watergate, folks, we will get rid of you if we have to. So you either comply with it." Now, what could Richard Nixon have done? We know he hated Jews. He could have gone public and said, these Zionists are trying to make trouble for me, the American people. He could have made a speech to the American people, saying, this is the type of corruption I'm facing. The people would have backed him up. They would have backed him up. Hyrcanus could have done the same thing, but he was full of fear. All right, but his father Antipater and his brother Phasaelus met him and hindered him from assaulting Jerusalem. That's only temporary, folks. They also pacified his vehement temper and persuaded him to do not overt action, but only to affright them with threatenings and to proceed no further against one who had given him the dignity he had. They also desired him not only to be angry, They also desired him not only to be angry that he was summoned and obliged to come to his trial, but to remember withal how he was dismissed without condemnation and how he ought to give Hyrcanus thanks for the same. All right, so be glad that you got away. All right, but see, Jews never forgive. Jews never forgive. They're not Israelites. They're not Judahites. They're the children of the devil, and they do not practice biblical forgiveness in any way. They practice the religion of the devil, which is Talmudic Judaism. So, and that he was not to regard only what was disagreeable to him, but to be and be unthankful for his deliverance. Well, Jews are never grateful. We can be nice to them all the day long. They are never grateful. So they desired him to consider that since it is God that turns the scales of war, there is great uncertainty in the issue of battles, and that therefore he ought not to expect the victory when he should fight with his king and him that had supported him and bestowed many benefits upon him and had done nothing of itself very severe to him. Yeah, but the Jews' pride was affected, right? And therefore, Herod was very angry with Hyrcanus, in spite of the fact that Hyrcanus let him off. He let him off. And for that, his accusation, which was derived from evil counselors, namely the Judahite Sanhedrin, and not from himself, had rather the suspicion of some severity than anything really severe in it. Herod was persuaded by these arguments and believed that it was sufficient for his future hopes to have made a show of his strength before the nation and had done no more to it. And in this state were the affairs of Judea at this time. So, this is a very important chapter in Antiquities of Judah. It shows how evil Jews, masquerading as Judahites or masquerading as Israelites, curry favor with politicians, leaders, kings and queens, and ultimately overthrow our Christian nations, our righteous Christian nations, with terror and corruption. Let me repeat here, going back to paragraph 4, toward the end of the paragraph, where how Herod treated the Sanhedrin that condemned him. Nor did Sameas mistake any part of this prediction, for when Herod had received the kingdom, he slew all the members of this Sanhedrin, and Hyrcanus himself also, excepting Sameas, for he had a great honor for him on account of his righteousness. All right, well, anyway, Hyrcanus made a public show of respecting the righteousness of Sameas. Why didn't he honor the righteousness of the rest of the Sanhedrin? He stood by and watched as Herod slew the council of elders of
what
Judah.
What has happened with this nation with the Federal Reserve?
Mm-hmm.
It crept in gradually. It was only to be effective with income tax in the District of Columbia. Now we have income tax all over the United States and all its territories. And what bigger terrorist organization has terrorized the American people than the Internal Revenue Service?
Right.
And who owns and operates the Federal Reserve, of which the Internal Revenue Service is a branch?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who instituted that central bank, and who is ongoing today, where there's only two countries, I believe, that don't have a central bank?
Right.
And
I think it's North Korea.
Concerted attack.
Pressure, right.
Constant.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Iran being the other one.
Yeah.
North Korea and Iran.
Well, they're trying to destroy Iran as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anybody who is not being controlled by Jewish banksters is under threat of annihilation by them. And that's all the saber rattling is concerning Iran and North Korea. That's all. That's what it's about. That's why they had to get rid of Saddam Hussein, because he stopped accepting Federal Reserve notes in exchange for oil.
Well, that's what happened with Abraham Lincoln. He wouldn't sign the Federal Reserve thing. They had to wait till later with
right.
a different president to get that central bank in. Same way with Andrew Jackson. He wouldn't bring the central bank in.
Right.
So,
and they tried to assassinate him.
Well.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay. All right. Why don't you take chapter 10? We're long in the tooth here. We only have about 15 minutes left for today's show, but this chapter was very important.
Well, I can put it on the line wherever we stop.
Mm-hmm.
And let me change my glasses so I get my magnifying.
Right.
Very short glasses, because these books are so big, the print has to be.
Yeah. Right.
So tiny that. There we go.
So we're in book 14, now chapter 10, paragraph 1 of Antiquities of Judah.
Right.
That's where we're at.
The honors that were paid the Judahites and the leagues that were made by the Romans and other nations with them.
Now, we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to make alliances with Yahweh's enemies.
Pagan nation.
That's right.
Verse 185, this would be verse 1. Now, when Caesar was come to Rome, he was ready to sail into Africa to fight against Scipio and Cato, when Hyrcanus sent ambassadors to him, and by them desired that he would ratify the League of Friendship.
League of Nations,
and
anyone?
Mutual alliance which was between them.
Okay, these alliances are made under war conditions. League of Nations, United Nations, they got through because of ongoing war. And, trust us, we'll bring peace. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
okay.
They had
yeah.
to have all this fall to Raul to get the Patriot Act passed.
That's right.
Same thing. They had to have a disaster, a so-called terrorist of terror with the bank. And, you know, they had to have a scapegoat.
Well, right.
They did. They did all of that, and then they got the Patriot Act in. And if you ever read the Patriot Act.
Oh, it's horrendous.
Unredacted. It just strips you of just everything.
Yeah.
The same way with the Noahide thing.
Obliteration of our rights. Total obliteration.
Right. And they've got Noahide in place. They've got guillotines in Georgia. I mean, it's...
Mm-hmm.
Who's in charge? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Hyrcanus.
not on the surface, but who's actually in charge?
Yeah, yeah. There's behind all kinds
the
of debate
the
as...
Puppet masters pull the strings and
that's right.
Dance.
That's right. There's all kinds of debate as to who was our worst president of America, and my vote goes to FDR. He's more like Hyrcanus than anybody else.
Oh,
of course, Obama was not even white. Never really president because he's not an American citizen. So, but nevertheless, no one did more damage than FDR. He brought the Jews in en masse.
He set up the entire foundation for all of this.
Yeah, that's right. Back to you.
All right. And it seems to me to be necessary here to give an account of all the honors that the Romans and their emperor paid to our nation and of the leagues of mutual assistance that they have made with it. That all the rest of mankind may know what regard the kings of Asia and Europe have had to us, and that they have been abundantly satisfied of our courage and faithfulness. For whereas many will not believe what has been written about us by the Persians and the Macedonians, because those writings are not everywhere to be met with, nor do lie in public places, but among us ourselves and certain other barbarous nations. While there is no contradiction to be made against the decrees of the Romans, for they are laid up in the public places of the cities and are extant still in the capital and engraved upon pillars of brass. Besides this, Julius Caesar made a pillar of brass for the Judahites at Alexandria.
Wow.
And declared publicly that they were citizens of Alexandria. Now, it says the Jews at Alexandria. Now,
right, it's Judahites. They up to this point in time, they were still Torah-keeping Judahites, even in Alexandria.
Yeah. Out of these evidences will I demonstrate what I say, and will now set down the decrees made both by the Senate and by Julius Caesar, which relate to Hyrcanus and our nation.
Now, you have to understand that that Josephus is being politically correct here. He is being, as kind as he possibly can to his Roman leaders, right? He could hardly be, he could be more praiseful, but he's doing his best, to put the Romans in the best light possible. Back to you.
He's not trying to stir up a hornet's nest.
That's
get
right.
Himself,
get himself
whacked.
Right. That's right.
Get himself whacked because they had absolute power.
Uh-huh.
If they got mad at you for any reason, they could order you killed.
That's right.
They were dictators, okay?
Mm-hmm.
People really don't know what a dictator is until they have to live under them.
Right.
And we need to be very, very careful because it's getting almost dictatorial.
Oh, it is.
Now.
Yes.
Caius Julius Caesar, imperator and high priest, and dictator the second time to the magistrates, senate, and people of Zidon sends greeting. If you be in health, it is well. I also and the army are well.
Mm.
Army.
Yeah.
I have sent you a
By the way, the army, right?
The army, all these guys with swords and spears.
Yeah, right.
I have sent you a copy of that decree registered on the tables, that's tablets, which concerns Hyrcanus, the son of Alexander, the high priest and ethnarch of the Judeans, that it may be laid up among the public records, and I will that it be openly proposed in a table of brass, tablet of brass, okay, both in Greek and in Latin. It is as follows. I, Julius Caesar, imperator the second time and high priest, have made this decree with the approval of the Senate, whereas Hyrcanus, the son of Alexander, the Jew, that might be proper there,
right,
has demonstrated his faithfulness and diligence about our affairs, and this both now and in former times, both in peace and in war, as many of our generals have borne witness and came to our assistance in the last Alexandrian war with 1,500 soldiers, and when he was sent by me to Mithridates, showed himself superior in valor to all the rest of that army. For these reasons, I will that Hyrcanus, the son of Alexander, and his children be ethnarchs of the Judahites and have the high priesthood of the Judahites forever, according to the customs of their forefathers, and that he and his sons be our allies, and that beside this, every one of them be reckoned among our particular friends.
Right. So, we have an alien presence ruling over us forever, is what his decree actually states.
And he is part of this great deception. The great impersonation begins, okay? And they have continued it to this day. And
yeah.
We are under that delusion today. So
yeah, and people wonder why things are always going going badly. Nothing's ever solved. Wars are never concluded with a real victory, right? The economy keeps getting worse, inflation keeps going up and up and up and up, and you know, the average person, simply they throw their hands up and say, can anything be done?
Right.
Yeah. Well, it can't.
Well, we're getting close to the end of our time here. I want to finish this section.
Okay.
I also ordain that he and his children retain whatever privileges belong to the office of high priest or whatever favors have been as yet granted them, and if at any time hereafter there arise any questions about the Judean customs, I will that he determine the same. Put the fox in charge of the hen house.
That's right.
And I think it not proper that they should be obliged to find us winter quarters, or that any money should be required of them. And that ends section two, paragraph two. And I think we should stop right there.
Yeah. Well, that was very generous of Julius. We won't require you to give us quarters or pay for our sustenance. Obviously, Julius Caesar was most able to provide that himself. Especially
he had been sent money.
By Juno who?
By Juno who.
Yeah.
Right?
Right? I've already got it. So I'm not going to ask you for any more. Okay.
Oh boy, the URL, it is Israelite, it is not on the internet. I'm not reading from the internet. I am
Yeah.
reading from a book.
Yes.
This is Jewish Antiquities, or that's the section of the works of Flavius Josephus.
Okay.
Okay, he found it. All right, there we go.
Okay.
We
And
got a lot of
I,
active students in the
yes.
chat room, and they want to go along with us
Okay.
as far as the readings, which is very gratifying.
Yes,
It
absolutely.
shows that we are making a dent. So
Yeah.
we've got less than 4 minutes.
Yeah. I'm reading from
We're going to pick up with this
Yeah,
and
next
share
week.
the machinations.
Oh.
I don't know how many shows we'll do with this, Eli.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've already demonstrated how the Edomites operate. This is the first instance, the first historical instance of a Judahite, that is a white Adamic Israelite, being manipulated by Jewish moneylenders and Jewish advisors. That's the importance. This is the object lesson of what we're why we're doing this. Okay. But I would say at least let's go through chapter 10, and because there's so much corruption, there's unending corruption under the reign of Herod, it's simply unbelievable. And Josephus documents it all. I mean, every wart on Herod's nose. And
Oh, he's very, very thorough.
He documents all this corruption, yet mainstream scholars ignore it, and they ignore the fact that he openly states that Antipater and Herod are Edomites, not Judahites, and they pretend the scholarly world and the so-called theological world totally ignore the fact that Antipater and Herod were corrupting Edomite Jews.
Absolutely.
They
Well,
totally.
I just looked at the following sections, and we could make a whole show
Yeah.
out of just the rest of chapter 10.
Right. This is good stuff. This
This
is
is
really
like
good stuff.
number 14 or 15 print. It's little bitty
It's
print.
very small.
They could never, this is a big book anyway. They could never, the book would be 4 inches thick if they put it in regular
Oh
type.
yeah, it sure would. It'd be like a dictionary.
It'd be huge.
Yeah, I'm reading from Josephus' Complete Works by William Whiston. Who do you have the same translator?
This
William
is
Whiston.
translated by William
Whiston.
Whiston, commentary by Paul L. Meyer.
Okay. This one has doesn't have that commentator, and this is published by Kregel Publications. Last copyright renewal,
Yeah,
1981.
Kregel. That this
Okay.
is Kregel.
Yeah, there are not too many people capable of translating a work like this, right? So,
And
yeah,
this is a first-class book,
it
Eli, I'll
is.
tell you.
It is. But of course, Whiston was under the delusion, even though
This is.
he understands that the Edomites came in and took over. He still uses the word Jew for both.
This is 1999.
Okay, so you got a recent update.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's always good to compare these versions, and because your
Well, I
language is
imagine the
different.
translation is the same,
Yeah.
but the commentary is what is different, probably the page layout.
Right. Yeah.
But this is a beautiful book.
It is.
It really is. It's
Yeah. Yeah, Josephus, it's worth, and it's available online anyway, so it's worth it reading everything you can get your hands on about Antipater and Herod. Yeah, and you can do a word search.
play the music.
Yeah,
It's time
oh,
to go. We
we're
got to,
there.
well, we're not going to make it.
Okay, all
See
right,
you later.
folks.
Yahweh bless, folks.
To I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I love telling the truth about Israel. Amen, folks.